The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 21, Text Number 25, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on May 19th, 2010, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 21, Text Number 25. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Prajapati Sutta Samran Manurvekyata Mangala Ramavaratam Yodivasan Shashi Saptad Narvan Mahim Prajapati Sutta Samran Manurvekyata Mangala Brahmavartam Yodivasan Shashi Sapta Nirvamahim. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Emperor Svayambhuva Manu, the son of Lord Brahma, who is well known for his righteous acts, has his seat in Brahmavarta and rules over the earth with its seven oceans. Purport. Sometimes it is stated that Brahmavarta is part of Kurukshetra, or that Kurukshetra itself is situated in Brahmavarta, because the demigods are recommended to perform spiritual ritualistic performances in Kurukshetra. But in others' opinion, Brahmavarta is a place in Brahmaloka, where Svayambhuva ruled. And there are many places on the surface of this earth which are also known in the higher planetary systems. We have places on this planet like Vrindavan, Dwarka, and Mathura, but they are also eternally situated in Krishna Loka. There are many similar names on the surface of this earth, and it may be that in the Boer Age, Svayambhuva Manu ruled this planet, as stated here. The word Mangala is significant. Mangala means one who is elevated in every respect in the opulences of religious performances, ruling power, cleanliness, and all other good qualities. Vekyata means celebrated. Svayambhuva Manu was celebrated for all good qualities and opulences. Vande Om Shri Guru Shri Jatapara Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunadan Vidam Tzivam Sadaitam Savadutam Varijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vidamscha. So, where are the leaders? We don't see such leaders anymore. Like Svayambhuva Manu. He's one of the 12 Mahajans, actually. Svayambhur Natadashambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vayasakirvayam. He is listed as in the verse as Manu, that is Svayambhur Manu. So the whole world is suffering now. Because we do not have such qualified leaders as Svayambhuva Manu. People in general have a tendency to be lazy. Unless there is some strong management, they will become lazy, we see. It's like we see even in the temple sometimes. People are living in the temple, they don't come from Mangalarti, they don't come from Bhagavatam class. So there must be strong management like Svayambhuva Manu. And then the nonsense will not go on, you see. The difficulty is now we have leaders. But the leaders are rascals. Woman hunters, drunkards. Heterosex, homosex, they have all kinds of leaders now. People who can't control their senses. Godas, servants of the senses. This is the caliber of leaders we have now on this planet. Therefore, Mother Bhumi is crying. And the burden of so much sinful activities on this planet. So the mission of our Krishna Congress movement is to relieve the burden of the earth. To bring back Vedic culture. Not this Mlecha culture. Even in our ISKCON, there is an attempt now to push forward Mlecha culture. It's like some of the ladies, I just got an email today from Singapore. The ladies are saying, we want to be called Prabhus, we don't want to be called Mataji. Of course, the women are also Prabhus in one sense. Just as our father is our master or our Prabhu, our mother is also our master. But in Vedic culture, the lady Prabhus are called Mataji, or mother. It's not that they are not Prabhus, they are also our spiritual masters. But the lady Prabhus are called Mataji. That is Vedic culture. They are called Mother. Prabhupada said, Mother Radharani. Mother Yashoda. Can you imagine Radharani saying, what is this nonsense? You're calling me Mother Radharani. I am Radharani Prabhu. And Mother Yashoda says, what is this nonsense? You're calling me Mother Yashoda. Don't you know I am Yashoda Prabhu? So the lady Prabhus, they are also Prabhu, they are masters. We bow down to them also every morning, Vanchakopatrubyascha. Kripa Sindhu Vyavacham, Patiranang Bhavane, Vyo Vaishnava, Vyanamana. And they are equally worshipable as the men devotees. There is no difference. But as a matter of culture, we call them Mataji. That's a. Why do we call them Mataji? Because no decent boy would ever dream of having sex with his mother. Therefore, out of respect, we call them mother. But these ladies, these foolish women, these foolish prabhus, they are thinking this is disrespectful to be called mother. To be called mother, that is the highest respect. Who is more dear to you than your mother? So, to be called mother, the Lady Prabhu should understand that this is a wonderful way to be in, to be honored as a Prabhu, as mother. Mother Prabhu, you see. So there is this attempt now by the personality of Kali to destroy the Vedic culture that Prabhupada created within ISKCON. So just as the planet Earth needs the strong leadership of such great kings as Svayambhuva Manu, ISKCON needs strong leaders who can stand up against this Mlecha culture that's trying to infiltrate ISKCON. Strong leadership is required. Otherwise, so much nonsense will come. You see? It is said, when the cat's away, the mice will play. So Prabhupada is no longer here to lay down the law, you see. So it's up to the followers of Prabhupada to read his books, accept his teachings, and stand firm that we must keep what Prabhupada has given as the standard for our society. We must not think that we have to adjust for the modern society. Whatever standard Prabhupada has given, that we must keep, you see. Prabhupada always criticized our Western mentality of changing things. There's no need to change these things. What Prabhupada had given us is perfect. It's wonderful. So let's keep this movement the same wonderful form that Prabhupada gave it to us in. There's so many people pushing now to change the movement, you see, like this gay lesbian Vaishnava alliance. Yeah, one boy has written me, he wants to become a girl, you see. Through surgery and through chemicals, he wants to become a girl. No, he wants to be, instead of a dasi, he wants to be a dasi. And he wants us to give him all encouragement that yes, oh, this is very good. But when we tell him the truth and he feels that we are abusing him. When we told him the truth, this is not favorable for your Krishna consciousness. He made a public complaint that Sankarshan Dasadhikari has abused him. I simply told him the truth, you see. He's thinking, now I have penis, but I want vagina instead, you see. But he can never have that by surgery or by drugs. He will never fully become a woman. So that means he'll have to take birth again to get his desire fulfilled. You can't fully change your gender by surgery or by drugs. So he will have to take birth again to get his desire completely fulfilled to change his gender. So why not just say, well, whatever I have, and let me just use it for Krishna and become a pure devotee? Why be so much on the bodily platform? So this idea that we have to, some people are saying we have to give all facility to this, you see, this kind of mentality. Well, we have to be sensitive to people, that's a fact. We have to encourage everyone to become Krishna conscious. Well, we should also inform them that, you know, being so much mad after changing your gender is not really helping your Krishna consciousness. We have to tell them the truth. Whether you're on the female body or a male body, either body is Maya. Because I'm not male, I'm not female. I'm Krishna's eternal servant. So instead of trying to transform from male to female or female to male, why not try to transform into becoming a pure devotee? One lady wanted to become a Prabhu. She wanted to wear a dhoti and dance with the men in the Tulsi worship. But I encouraged her, there's no reason. This is a woman who actually had a child. She had given birth to a child from her womb, and now she wanted to become a man, you see. I told her there's no need to change your gender to male, you know, female to male. Just be Krishna conscious. I encouraged her to come to the temple in a sari, and she did it. And then one brahmachari who wanted to become a brahmacharini, he got really angry at me. He wrote me a really nasty letter. Complaining how I was not preaching properly, you see. But why do we have to be so caught up in changing our gender? It doesn't make sense to me. Why not just change into becoming a pure devotee of Krishna? We've been changing genders for millions of lifetimes. Sometimes male, sometimes female, again and again, millions and millions of times we've changed genders. And has it made us happy? I was a woman, and now I'm a man, and then I was a, you know, in this way we're changing back and forth. And has it ever made us happy? Has anyone ever become happily satisfied by changing their gender? No. The only satisfaction is to come to pure devotional service. So whatever body I have now, male or female, that's my karma. Let me simply engage this body in Krishna's service and become a pure devotee. This is intelligence. In the spiritual world, you can be a male and a female at the same time anyway. It's not a big deal. There's Chaitanya Leela and Krishna Leela happening simultaneously. And just as Lord Krishna is also manifested as Lord Chaitanya in two different leelas at the same time. So many gopis are manifested as sannyasis in Chaitanya Leela, you see. Just like you have Rupa Manjari in Krishna Leela. It's the same Rupa Manjari as Rupa Goswami in Chaitanya Leela. So simultaneously, he is Rupa Manjari and he is Rupa Goswami and she is Rupa Manjari, the same person. So in the spiritual world, you can be male and female at the same time. You can be a woman in Krishna Leela and a male in Chaitanya Leela simultaneously. So why is be so much caught up about changing genders now? Just go back to Godhead and you won't have to, you know, you can be completely satisfied. So we need to be strong on these points. That whatever Krishna has given me, let me accept it and use it in his service, that's all. That is my perfection. It's not that by arranging my material situation that I'll become happy. Of course, some adjustment can be made. A brahmachari, he can become a grihastha. Grihastha can become a sannyasi. There are some material arrangements we can make. But we should go within the scope of the teachings of Prabhupada. There's no need to try to become like the Karmi civilization. We can just keep this wonderful culture that Prabhupada has given us in his books. And then we will become happy. So are there any questions?
Бъде сам някъде и да си мисли, че всъщност по този начин работи за тази духовна революция, за мисията на Бобчета.
Да. Can one chant, concentrate, can one chant the Maha Mantra with concentration and be alone somewhere and at the same time thinks that this, by doing this, he helps the mission of Lord Chaitanya.
Yes, by chanting you are pushing for the mission.
Да, через мантуване ти.
Every time you utter Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, you're pushing for the mission of Lord Chaitanya. So therefore chant 24 hours.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I think he was saying that chanting alone, going somewhere.
Even alone. Even chanting alone, you're pushing for the mission.
During the mature sam,
is it recommended to go alone and chant separately?
Japa, if one, well, for neophyte devotees, we didn't like to have them all chanting together, so we can make sure they don't fall asleep. But if one is fixed in japa chanting, he can either chant with the devotees or he can chant alone. There's equal. Either way is fine. But if you're too far away from the devotees, then what will you do when it's time for kirtan? For kirtan, we must all come together. So don't go too far away to chant your rounds. You may get diverted. It's always good to stay pretty close to the devotees, you know. I think I don't need the devotees, I'll just chant on my own. Then Maya may grab you. So we should always stay as close as possible with the devotees. Next question. Yes.
He wants to ask if only Swayam Baba Manu is a Mahajana or the other Manus are also Mahajanas.
The only one listed as in the list of 12 Mahajanas is Swayambhava Manu. But we can understand they're all great personalities. I mean, Prabhupada's certainly a Mahajana also. Bhakti Sananda Sarasvati Thakura. There are so many great Mahajana. And the list is, they're not mentioned in the list. So just because someone's not mentioned in the list, it doesn't mean they are not Mahajana. We quote one verse, Mahajana Yena Gatasavanda.
That
applies to Prabhupada also. He is the greatest Mahajana. So just because the other Manus are not listed in the list given by Yamaraj does not mean they are not Mahajana. But especially he, Swayambhava Manu, is Mahajana. And Bhaivasvata Manu also, he must be great Mahajana. Otherwise, why he's hearing Bhagavad Gita directly from Krishna. He must be a great Mahajana also. To qualify to have the direct darshan of Krishna, he must be a great Mahajana also. So now we must also become Mahajana. This is Prabhupada's desire that we should all become
Mahajana.
So now do that. We must all do that. We must all become great Mahajanas. Next question, yeah.
Prabhupada
Srila Prabhupada taught us to very carefully study his books. So what is the criteria that we understand correctly his books?
You have to... That's why we require senior devotees, you see. So we can verify our understanding. That's why we have classes. Because on our own we may misunderstand something. But by regularly having classes on Prabhupada's books, there's a common understanding that we all share, you see. In ISKCON we are constantly having classes on Prabhupada's books all over the world. So by these constant classes we develop a common group understanding of what Prabhupada is saying. So by regularly hearing the lectures from the senior devotees, then you can get a proper understanding. And when you read the books, you'll understand them properly. If there's any questions, you can inquire.
Първият въпрос е, тъй като сам Санк Прабу спомена, че задълженията в храма трябва да се извършат независимо Хари Кришна Махамантра и четеното. Ако преднодайните са прекалено малко и трябва да извършат много голямо служене и трябва да подадат това цяло служене, как да има баланс? Виж ли въпрос?
Да. So his question is in regard to what you said yesterday, that devotees should not neglect their duties in the name of chanting the holy names, but if the devotees are very few in the temple, how they can share these duties?
We need to get more devotees in the temple who are properly taking up responsibility in the temple. That's what we need. The whole burden shouldn't just be on one or two people. It should be get more devotees. And everyone who lives in the temple should be very responsible to do service. To attend the programs, rising from Mangalarti, etc. Prabhupada didn't like the temple being used as a place for eating and sleeping only. Don't make ISKCON a free hotel. Anyone who's living in the temple, they should rise early, attend the programs, and they should do service also. If there's difficulty then to manage, then you have to consult with your temple president and tell him what is the difficulty. Shriman Param Jyoti Prabhu. Let's consult with him if there's difficulty. Any other questions? Yeah.
Prabhupada has told us to chant minimum 16 rounds a day, but if we have many services to do, sometimes we cannot manage to finish our mantra. What have to do in this situation?
For some reason, Because if you cannot finish your rounds, you must complete them the next day. If today I only do 14 rounds because if I was sick or I must attend service or something, then tomorrow I must do 18 rounds. Any other questions? Yeah, he had a question.
Моят въпрос е следния. Когато някой предано там общува със своето семейство или близки, с които живее, и въпреки това да не култивират Кришна съзнание, трябва ли да поеме пълна лична отговорност за това и до каква степен се простира силата на въздействието, което той оказва, и личния избор на човека срещу него? То са два въпроса.
If a devotee lives with his relatives in home and he is not able to convert them into devotees, what are his responsibilities? So how should he influence them?
The most important thing is you be Krishna conscious. Don't let them disturb you from your practice. You may be able to influence them, you may not be able to influence them. The most important thing is you be strict in your Krishna consciousness. And then you will have some potency. If you give in to them, you will have no potency. You must be their leader. At least by your example, you must be their leader. Whether they're willing to take instructions, that's another matter. But at least you must show a good example. You should be very kind to them. I'm very patient with them. But be very strict in your own practice.
Can I ask another question? Vaisakhi Prabhu говореше за това как ние трябва да развиваме сърцето си, не само ума, чрез четенето, което развива интелигентността, а по-важно е ние да развиваме чувствата си и отношението си към Кришна, защото сърцето е това, което трябва да бъде докоснато от Кришна. И моят въпрос е как четеното на книгите и развиването на интелигентността, ние храним по този начин интелигентността, но как да отворим напълно сърцето си и да развиваме тези чувства и привързаност към Кришна.
Vaisakhi Prabhu told us that we should develop not only our intelligence, but also our heart, our emotions towards Krishna. And by reading the books of Srila Prabhupada, we develop some intelligence, but how to develop our heart qualities?
By serving with love. Krishna is manifest in the form of spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. So serve Guru and Vaishnavas with love. That is how your love for Krishna will awaken. Really, try to really care about Guru and Vaishnavas. Don't be impersonal. Sincerely try to please Guru and Vaishnavas. This will develop a loving feeling in the heart, which will then become manifested with Krishna consciousness. Yeah.
възпитание. Но ние като личности сме чувствителни и преодоляваме. Как да се вслушаме в техните съвети и да реализираме, че не трябва да им противоречим?
Sometimes local leaders are too rude.
Sometimes what?
Local leaders are too rude with some devotee.
Rude.
Over the bone. Is that the Bulgarian prime minister?
No, they are not polite with devotees.
The Bulgarian prime minister, you mean?
No. They say local that leaders. Devotees. The worldly leaders are not very...
Well, maybe it's your own. Maybe it's your rude. You're seeing them, and because you are rude, you're thinking they're rude. That's usually what happens. Because of our own rude nature, we imagine that they're being rude. We transfer our own rudeness onto the leaders.
Когато ние трансформираме нашата грубост,
they are just trying to do what's practical. That's all.
Лидерите просто се опитват да правят това, което е практично.
It's not easy to be a leader. It's easy to criticize leaders, but it's not easy to be a leader.
Не е лесно да си лидер. Лесно да критикуваш лидерите.
When everybody is criticizing you, oh, he's so rude. How would you like it if you were the leader and everybody said that you were rude? Would you like that? If you were the temple president, we made you the temple president, everyone said, oh, that Bogdan Sylvia, she's so rude. It's easy to take pot shots of the leaders, but it's not easy to be a leader. And they try their best, but they have to get the job done also, you see. One time a little boy, he was flying a kite on the roof of the house, on the roof of a building. And he was so absorbed in flying his kite that he didn't notice he was walking about to step off the edge of the building. And somebody yelled to him, stop, what are you doing? Stop! And he said, he was thinking, who's this rude person interrupting my kite flying? Was he being rude? Stop! He was about ready to die. Step off the edge of the building. So no, that person saved his life. He wasn't being rude. He was being compassionate. So that boy, in his foolishness, he took compassion as rudeness. So sometimes in ISKCON we do that. Somebody is very compassionate to us and we take, oh, they're so rude. So be careful before you label the temple authority as being rude. Such a rude labeling mentality can spoil your japa. Devotees thought Prabhupada was rude one time. He was debating with a Mayavadi at a university in the U.S. This Mayavadi said, Swamiji, it's all one. And Prabhupada grabbed his shirt. He said, if it's all one, why don't you wear a cotton ball?
Prabhupada,
Devotees thought, oh, Prabhupada's becoming angry and rude. Let's get him out of here. We'll call a taxi cab and get Prabhupada out of here. They didn't understand this is the compassion of the pure devotee. To chastise the Mayavadi. See, that's mercy. So, it may be your temple president and the temple leader's mercy. You're thinking his rudeness. So don't be too quick to label the temple authority as rude. That's a very dangerous thing to do. Very dangerous thing to do. Do you understand? And even if he is rude, Krishna will take care of him. You know, don't worry, Krishna will take care of him. But I've never seen Paramjyoti as a rude person, never. I've known him for many years, longer than you. Or also in Nitai Chandra in Burgas. I've never seen him to be a rude person. So I would be more inclined to think that this is your mistaken judgment. Now I hope you don't think that I'm being rude. Do you think that I'm being rude now to you? Or is this my compassion for you? You take this as my compassion and not my rudeness?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll stop here. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.